Radio Prague News.
The police are to charge two people in the case of a suspicious purchase of Tatra trucks for the Czech military. The Slovak government has asked Czech doctors to temporarily step in for their Slovak colleagues who are quitting their jobs en masse over low salaries. And Czech Airlines might have to cancel some of its flights in the coming days due to a protest by pilots. The police are to charge two people in the case of the 2006 purchase of Tatra trucks for the Czech army, prosecutors investigating the case said on Wednesday. They refused to specify the charges or who will be charged. According to the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, however, the police are going to charge former defense minister Martin Barták and arms dealer Michal Smrš. The 2.7 billion crown deal to buy 555 Tatra trucks for the Czech army was sealed in December 2006. The police launched an investigation into the deal last year after the head of Tatra's board of directors and former US ambassador to Prague, William Cabanis, said he was asked for a bribe by then Deputy Defense Minister Martin Barták. The Slovak government has asked Czech doctors to temporarily step in for their Slovak colleagues who are quitting en masse in a labor dispute over low salaries, a spokesman for the Czech Health Ministry said on Wednesday. 2,000 out of 7,000 Slovak doctors handed in their notices that will expire on the 1st of December. Czech Health Minister Leoš Heger said he would inform Czech hospital doctors of the offer. However, most experts are skeptical about a potential influx of Czech doctors to Slovakia. For his part, the head of the Czech Doctors' Labor Union, Martin Engel, said he would ask medics to ignore the appeal so as not to break their Slovak colleagues' protest. The Czech government on Wednesday tightened the rules for calculating the volume of active ingredients in cannabis. By January 2012, the volume of active ingredients in cannabis will be calculated from the flowers of marijuana plants rather than from entire plants. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil said this would lower the threshold for growing marijuana. Under Czech law, people can freely grow marijuana plants with less than 0.3% contents of THC and other active ingredients. Addressing complaints by Czech cacti growers, the government also took mescaline off the list of illicit substances. The Czech government approved on Wednesday a constitutional bill slightly modifying a section of the border with Austria due to anti-flood and water management measures. The legislation will mean the exchange of some land near the South Moravian towns of Břeclav and Lanžhot with neighboring Austria. The Czech Republic and Austria agreed on the step on the 3rd of November when the relevant treaty was signed. The Czech government will now submit the treaty for ratification to Parliament. Under the treaty, the border will be now delineated on the Dyje River. The 24-hectare area is administered by Břeclav and Lanžhot. The acreage to be swapped is the same in Austria and the Czech Republic. Czech Airlines might have to cancel several flights in the coming days due to a protest by its pilots, a spokesman for the Pilots Association said on Wednesday. The pilots are planning to coordinately take time off to protest against a transfer of planes to a charter carrier affiliated with Czech Airlines, a move they described as the start of the firm's liquidation. Czech Airlines is yet to determine which flights are likely to be cancelled. The Golden Whale restaurant in Prague's Malá Strana has won the annual Grand Restaurant poll compiled by the respected Czech food critic Pavel Maurer, the Daily Lidové Noviny reported on Wednesday. Second and third in the new poll came the Alcrond and La Rotonde, respectively, both parts of the Radisson Blue Alcrond Hotel in Prague. The only Czech restaurant with a Michelin star, Allegro, in Prague's Four Seasons Hotel, was not included in this year's Grand Restaurant poll, as it is temporarily closed down for renovation. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days will be mostly overcast with fog and occasional drizzle. Daytime highs will range between 4 and 8 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. In today's program, as authorities in České Budějovice close three primary schools because of asbestos, health officials warn that more public buildings may carry the same risks. And Moya, the first gorilla born and raised in captivity in the Czech Republic, has been relocated to Spain to find a new mate. And in Spotlight today, we visit two of the most famous restaurants in Prague. All that and more coming up, so please stay tuned. The city hall in České Budějovice closed three primary schools in a housing estate this week after health workers discovered the presence of carcinogenic asbestos, while teachers attempt to create alternative plans for the several hundred students. Asbestos concerns have returned to the public awareness nationwide, and health officials warn that many more public buildings may carry the same risks. Christian Falvi has more.
Where there are cheaply produced prefabricated buildings from the 1970s and 80s, there are worries of asbestos, which sticks in the lungs like hooks and can bring cancer or other ailments even decades after the fact. Now many of these buildings are being reconstructed, which causes the fibers to be released anew. An inspection of schools in the South Bohemian center of České Budějovice this week resulted in the closure of three primary schools serving hundreds of students. The teachers are continuing work under provisional conditions, but only for a few days, after which time an asbestos holiday will take effect and the city council is working on crisis scenarios. Most worryingly, the three schools closed were the three schools tested, chosen for inspection because they were re-insulated in the summer. The students there may thus have been breathing asbestos for 3 months already, though the problem was in fact confined only to certain rooms. How many more institutions could be posing health risks is impossible to estimate. Since September and the end of the renovation season, four schools in Prague also had to move students elsewhere due to asbestos concerns, as did one nursery in Česká Lípa, north of Prague. The country's chief medical officer, Michal Witt, is ordering inspections in all schools built during the 1970s and 80s that have recently undergone renovations. And the problem by no means extends only to schools. There are thousands of hospitals, administrative offices, and residences around the country that were built during the same era using the same materials. Healthcare officials note that such buildings pose no hazard so long as the panels are left undisturbed, but the Czech Republic's reliance on these millions of spaces is such that they must be refurbished rather than rebuilt. And that refurbishment means disturbing the asbestos insulation panels that were standard issue at the time. Prefabricated buildings can be reconstructed safely, but at no small cost. The asbestos panels must be removed according to a very strict procedure. And because their removal is so demanding in terms of time, money, and worker safety, companies often skirt the rules, and the building's users are not the only victims of poor practices. Workers should be dressed in overalls and breathing masks. A protective zone is to be set out around the construction site. Nonetheless, the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes cites residents who have observed much different procedures. Foreign workers dressed only to the waist, using hydraulic drills, while nearby schools' windows are open. Asbestos is unseen and therefore inestimably disregarded. Anyone with a trade license for removing hazardous substances can be hired to remove the asbestos panels, once appreciated around Europe and the world for their unique properties of insulation and fireproofing. The common effects of contact, however, include lung disease and shortness of breath in the better case scenario, and tumors and other little researched problems of the respiratory system. Puzzlingly, people who have not been exposed directly to asbestos have come down with symptoms of asbestos-related diseases through contact with first-person exposures.
Christian Falvi with that report. Now, just 2 weeks after a newborn gorilla was transported from Prague to Stuttgart following repeated failed attempts to reunite it with its mother, Prague Zoo has bid farewell to another gorilla, Moya, the first lowland gorilla born and raised in captivity in the Czech Republic. The animal has reached sexual maturity and her minders decided to move her away to prevent inbreeding in the pack. Her new home is the Cabarseno National Park in northern Spain, where Moya was transported on Tuesday. Moya, whose name means the first in Swahili, will turn 7 years old in a couple of weeks' time. Born on the 13th of December 2004 to mother Kijivu, who had come from Australia, and father Richard from the United Kingdom, Moya has become somewhat of an animal celebrity in the Czech Republic, being the first baby gorilla born here and also thanks to a multimedia project co-organized by Czech Radio. For 4 years, cameras monitored the gorilla compound and the show was broadcast online. Initially, it took some time to determine the baby's sex, and a DNA test had to confirm it. But now that it's perfectly clear Moya is female and sexually mature, vets decided it was time for her to leave her native zoo. First, she would not let herself be sedated, but she finally fell asleep and was transported in a container to Prague's Ruzyně Airport. Pavel Brandl is in charge of Prague Zoo's gorilla compound.
We can't say she's enthusiastic. Surely no one is happy inside a transport container. But from a veterinary point of view, she's doing all right, and she's just fine.
Among those who came to wave Moya goodbye was Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, who said the young gorilla had become a symbol of Prague. Now she has to part with the city to find a new mate. After almost 4 hours and 2,000 kilometers, the charter plane carrying Moya, vets, minders and journalists landed in Spain, where experts hope she will mate successfully. Miroslav Vobek is the head of Prague Zoo.
There is a male called Nicky in the Sabarseno National Park who was born in the wild. From our point of view, he is a very suitable mate for Moya.
After a short quarantine, Moya will be slowly getting to know her new group, which might take her up to 6 months. According to experts, she will have mingled completely with the new pack in 3 years' time. By then, she will also have forgotten about her life back in Prague. And now on Radio of Prague, it's time for our regular feature spotlight. Bohumil Hrabal's book, I Served the King of England, makes working in a restaurant sound very dramatic and very glamorous. But the novel also suggests that such drama and glamour belong to a time now long gone. To find out whether this was true, Rosie Johnston visited two of Prague's most famous restaurants to talk to their owners about their work from day to day.
When I started work at the Golden Prague Hotel, the boss took hold of my left ear, pulled me up and said, "You're a busboy here, so remember, you don't see anything and you don't hear anything." Then the boss pulled me up by my right ear and said, "But remember too that you've got to see everything and hear everything."
The words of perhaps the most famous Czech waiter in the world, Dítě, from Bohumil Hrabal's book I Served the King of England, which has now been made into a film. Dítě starts life as a lowly busboy selling frankfurters before working his way up the ranks and acquiring his own hotel. Hrabal's book makes working in a restaurant sound very dramatic and very glamorous, but the novel also suggests that such drama and glamour belong to a time now long gone. To find out whether this was true, I visited two of Prague's most famous restaurants to talk to their owners about their running from day to day. The first restaurant in question derives its fame from another Czech literary character, as its owner, Pavel Tepfer, explains.
Tato hospoda už je stará víc než 100 let.
This pub is over 100 years old. The main dining room was enlarged and decorated after the Second World War, sometime around 1950. The pub is very well known because of the book The Good Soldier Schweig by Jaroslav Hašek. In the novel, Schweig visits the pub each evening at 6. This building originally belonged to our grandmother, but in 1948 the communists stripped her of it. After the revolution in 1989, my brother and I were handed back the building to which this pub belonged.
The Tepfer's pub U Kelicha has grown into a bit of an institution since they took it back over. Pavel Tepfer explains the secret.
A traditional Czech pub is all about good beer. You're from England, and so this is something that you won't know from back home. They don't bother to leave any head on the beer there. The beer has to be good, it has to be cold. Then you need some good music, a good atmosphere. So these are the things that we aim for in order to pull in visitors from all over the world.
And what about the clientele? Has Mr. Tepfer served the King of England?
Měl jsem tady už asi 11 prezidentů.
I've had maybe around 11 presidents here, and famous actors and famous sports people. One very rich Russian came here to dine, Roman Abramovich, the owner of the Chelsea Football Club. I have my photo taken with each one of these people and asked them to sign my wall. But the photos of me sitting down to a beer with them and the signatures are just from my office. Often these people come here on private trips, so I don't want to broadcast it all over the place to all of our guests. The photos are just for my own personal album. I don't need to boast about these visitors. I can just remember fondly by myself the time they came to visit.
U Kalicha is a family-run enterprise, as Pavel Tepfer explains.
Jeden mladší syn je v kuchyni, takže se stará s dalšíma 10 kuchařema.
My youngest son works in the kitchen, so he alongside the other 10 chefs takes care of the catering. And my oldest son works here despite being a doctor, because his father pays better than any hospital ever would.
Pracuje u mě, protože tatínek platí lepší, než platí špitál.
Meanwhile, across town is U Lipi, a somewhat smaller family restaurant run by Miroslav Ružička. Like Mr. Tepfer, Mr. Ružička serves plates of hearty Czech fare to his customers, though this is more frequently accompanied by fine French wines than beer. Mr. Ružička earned his catering stripes at some of the Czech capital's biggest hotels, and in 1988 became the first private restaurant owner in what was then Czechoslovakia.
We started up in 1988 when I handed in my notice at the Intercontinental Hotel. I'd been working there for around 10 years when I heard about the possibility of setting up my own private restaurant. Around January 1st or 2nd, 1988, I read in the communist newspaper, Rudé Pravo, that the government had legalized private enterprise. And so I found this out and said to my colleagues, this is what I want to do. And they laughed and said, good luck, we'd like to see you try. So in May of that year, I handed in my notice and started looking for a premises. But I didn't find anything.
Eventually, though, he succeeded. The grand opening came in April 1989.
We had lots of customers. We opened on April 21st at 7 in the evening. It was late spring by then, so it was still light at that time. In the afternoon, we had put out a sign saying opening today, and already at 5:30 p.m. there were around 100 people standing in a queue and waiting for us to open. We were pretty stowed out that night. We have seating for 50, and here were 100 people. So we brought in all the garden furniture and just did whatever we could to accommodate them all.
After the fall of communism, Mr. Ružička had a bit of a head start as the only private restaurateur in the country. It took several years for any competition to appear. But despite the abundance of all sorts of different restaurants in the Czech capital today, Mr. Ružička is still doing well, and recently came top of a list of the country's best restaurants. U Lipi is located quite far out of Prague city centre, and stands out from the housing estate that surrounds it.
The house is ours, and so I've been able to decorate it in the way that I like. If it were someone else's, I wouldn't be able to hang these expensive pictures on the wall. I wouldn't put up all of these decorations. The entire place would be a little bit barer because the whole setup would be less permanent, and I might have to move it all. The pictures on the wall are of my family. There's my grandmother, mother, wife, daughter, father, and grandfather. My sons aren't there because there wasn't enough space on the wall. They are looking down on us here in the dining room. The whole place is done up a bit like a castle. The ceiling is 20 years old and very much in that style. Then there's the carpet and the piano.
No, koberce, klavír.
a man's restaurant is his castle. And maybe Hrabal was right. It's also his stage. Here's Pavel Tepfer again.
Já to říkám takhle, můj bratr je herec a hraje divadlo. A já říkám, ty se máš, ty hraješ.
Put it this way, my brother's an actor, he works in the theatre, and I say to him, it's all right for some. You act for 3 hours each evening, and here I am acting in front of our customers for 18 hours a day. But I have one clear advantage over my brother. At the end of his performance, people applaud him, they clap him, but they pay me.
Tleskaj, ale mě platěj.
Pavel Tepfer ending that edition of Spotlight. The program, written and presented by Rosie Johnston, was first broadcast in January 2008. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language program, brought to you by Rosie Johnston.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a song by the most famous of Czech crooners, Karel Gott. The song's title is Srdce jako kamen, which translates as heart like a stone. Listen out for this phrase in the song's chorus.
Srdce jako kamen, leží si tu kouká, podobná louka, mořený květ.
English-speaking listeners will be familiar with the meaning of srdce jako kamen. Its translation, heart of stone, is frequently used in English too and means the same thing. But a slightly more unusual Czech expression is spadl mi kamen ze srdce, literally the stone fell away from my heart. I suppose an English equivalent would be something like that's a weight off my shoulders or a weight off my mind. But that's not exactly right because spadl mi kamen ze srdce doesn't mean that you are passing responsibility over on someone else, but rather that something that was weighing heavy on you has been resolved. So really, it's an expression of heartfelt relief. Now that we've got that sorted, here's a little bit more Karel Gott.
Srdce jako kámen, leží si tu kouká, podobná louka, pohozený květ. Srdce jako kámen.
In spadl mi kamen ze srdce, Czechs refer to their heart, where English speakers might idiomatically refer to their mind. As we said, the phrase more or less translates as, that's a weight off my mind. Likewise, Czechs say, nechtěl říct, co mu leží na srdci, or he didn't want to say what was lying on his heart, instead of, he didn't want to say what was weighing on his mind, or what he had in mind.
Srdce jako kámen, leží si tu kouká, podobná.
The opposite of having a heart of stone, or srdce jako kamen, is maybe mít srdce na dlaní, to have your heart on your palm. The English equivalent of mít srdce na dlaní is, of course, to have your heart on your sleeve. Which brings us to the end of this sound check. So let me bid you a heartfelt goodbye. Naschledanou.
Srdce jako kamen, leží si tu kouká.
That was Rosie Johnston with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program is also available online at www.radio.cz. That's www.radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, please get in touch with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post at Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. For now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here at Radio Prague, thanks for joining us today, and goodbye.